Mark chapter number 16. And I have just a couple of thoughts on my heart that I want to share with you out of Mark 16. This is what a lot of people call Holy Week. And the week of Easter that leads up to Easter, leading up to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know people have mixed feelings of Easter. I'm just glad he's alive. And some people have those same mixed feelings about Christmas. And I'm just glad he was born. Amen. And we could debate all those things, but you know, I really see no need for it. There's people who say, well, you know, I believe Jesus was crucified on Friday. I don't, but if they want to believe that, that's fine. You know, I believe Jesus was crucified on Wednesday, but some people believe he was crucified on Thursday, and you could have debates, and people could show you things, and they could turn in the scriptures, and boy, you know, early in my time of study, I got into those debates, and I finally figured out, you know, I don't know that this really matters. You know, if the only reason you're studying is trying to prove someone wrong, I don't know that that's a good motive to study. So you say, well, I believe he was crucified on Friday. Well, okay, you know, I don't. I believe he was crucified on Wednesday. You say, well, okay, I don't. Okay. And then there's good people who believe he was crucified on Thursday. I just know he was crucified. And I know that he was buried. And I know that he rose again from the grave. And he is alive. And so now what does that mean? What does that mean? Jesus is alive. And that's what I want to talk to you about. You know, what should be our course of action? What should we be doing because Jesus is alive? Well, I can tell you this before we even look at anything in the scripture. We shouldn't be living as though he's not alive. We have a message. And if we really believe, this is a conviction in my heart. If you believe something that moving, that monumental, that the Christ came and lived and died and was buried and he rose from the dead. He was risen by the Spirit of holiness, Romans 1:4 says. And he is alive. He that was dead is alive and is alive forevermore. With a message like that, if you believe it in your heart, you can't keep it to yourself. Amen? I can tell you this, the early church did not. They went everywhere preaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, I hope you're telling people about the resurrection. I hope that you will take this message. And as we look in the scripture, and I'm going to ask you to Mark 16, just stand just for a moment, and I want to read verses 19 and 20. Now, you know, this passage is controversial. There are people that say, well, you know, this last passage, this last section of Mark 16 doesn't belong in the canon of Scripture. And they take some of the things that are said, in particular in verses number 17 and 18, and they say, well, you know, that's just not palatable, and it's not believable, and it's not something that belongs in the original canon of Scripture, and I don't accept that at all. I believe that it does, and I believe that we have it, and we have it for a reason. And just because I don't understand something doesn't mean that I want to dismiss it. I don't want to get to that place in my life. And there's things in the Scripture that I don't understand. But God forbid that would promote a cause in my heart to say, well, I'm just going to dismiss it then, and that'll make it okay. No, it doesn't. You grow and you learn, and you may, listen, we'll never know all the Bible. We'll never know it all. And if you think that, you know, the longer I study it, the more I realize I don't know about it. And it's alive. The Bible is alive. And so, I think that 17, verse 17 and 18 in our scripture tonight, in the context of our scripture, I think they have their place. I think that they are part of sign gifts that have passed on. I believe that there are also things that God gives as signs that are to remain, as we shall see here in just a moment. And so let's read verses 19 and 20, and I want you to think with me about this thought. What are we to do? Jesus has resurrected. He has ascended to the right hand of the Father. What are you going to do about it? And we see what the disciples did. And I think it's a good pattern to follow. And I think Mark summed it up in just a few words. So let's see. Verse 19 says, "So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat down on the right hand of God. And they," meaning the disciples, "and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following." Amen. And so let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for the word of God, and thank you for this time together. God, thank you for sealing in my heart. It is sealed that it is of a truth that Christ came and that he died, he was buried, and he raised from the grave the third day according to the scripture. He is alive and alive forevermore, and he is presently seated at your right hand. And he's coming back one day. God, thank you for fixing that in my heart. It is fixed in my heart by faith. And I pray that you would fix it in the hearts of your people. And I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Now that it's fixed, what are we to do? And help us to follow the example of the early church and those early disciples. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You can be seated. I'm not going to preach to you or tell you anything that you probably don't know or haven't heard many, many times. But I was just thinking, as this is a week that people kind of turn their attention toward the Holy Week and the carrying ons of that week and the life of the Lord Jesus leading up to his crucifixion and his burial and his resurrection and eventually his ascension. And that's what we have here. We have Mark kind of fast forward and saying, hey, listen, Jesus, he was crucified, and chapter 16 deals with he was buried and he was resurrected from the grave, and he came out and he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. And then he ascended, and that's where he picks up in verse number 19. "So then, after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat down on the right hand of God." I believe that. I believe that. I believe that's where he's at right now. And the apostle said in the book of Hebrews, "And he ever liveth to make intercession for us." And right now, while we're meeting here for prayer meeting, we have a great high priest in the heavens who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you thankful that Jesus is praying and that he's interceding on our behalf? I sure am thankful for that. I'm thankful. Listen, I love to pray for people. I love it when people pray for me. But if no human being ever prayed for me again, there's a God in heaven who prays for me in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's mindful of me, and he's mindful of my lot in life. He's mindful of my hurts and my cares, and he's mindful of yours too. Aren't you thankful for that? I'm glad that the Bible says we can cast all of our care upon him, for he careth for us. And I'm thankful for that. Now, what are we to do as believers? We're believers. And now that Jesus has come and he's lived and he's died and he was buried and he rose from the grave, he's ascending into heaven, he's taken on that high priestly office, what are we to do? Well, we do know that when Jesus was crucified, that the disciples were very discouraged. And many of them, we know that Peter said, I go fishing. I mean, he went back and many went with him. And there was great discouragement. But then the Lord resurrected from the grave. And he went. And I've always found this interesting. If you go back in chapter 16 and you'll look when it says in, let me find where it says here, verse 7, after Jesus had resurrected from the grave, there was this, I believe, an angel. It says there was a man in verse number 5, a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. That's the women that had gone into the empty sepulchre and found that Jesus had risen. And he saith unto them in verse 6, be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples, and notice what it says, and Peter. And you've heard this before. You know, Peter had denied him. And Jesus had tried to tell him, listen, you're going to deny me. And Peter, oh, no, now, not me. I'd never do that. All the rest of them will, Lord, not me. You know, I'll die. You know, I'll go to prison. I'll die before I'll deny you. Well, we know how that ended. And I'm not on. It just keeps going off, or? Oh, it needs to be turned on. Okay, yeah. It's got to be turned on before it can go off. Tell you, this technology is weird. All right. And so I think that there's just a message there. You know, Peter, I still count you as a disciple. I haven't given up on you. I want to see you too. I still have something for you to do. And we find in the book of John in chapter 21 that where Jesus did, in a sort, recommission him and say, listen, I've still got something for you to do. But now I've got to let you know, if you're going to serve me, you need to love me. You need to love me more than these. And it could have been the things. It could have been the ship. Could have been the fishing. Could have been the profession. Could have been the people. I don't know. Could have been all of it. But one of the qualifying factors of serving Jesus effectively is to love him. Love him. You say, well, you know, do you serve people because you love them? Well, you know, I do love people. But if that's the only reason you serve people, you'll be very inconsistent. Now listen to me, okay? I hope you'll get this tonight. You hear about missionaries. Josh Sullivan, we've been praying for Josh and his family. And there's missionaries all over this world. And there's pastors that are serving God. And there's servants that are serving the Lord with their whole heart. And you say, well, they do that because they love people. And I think there's in a sense, there's a measure of that that is so. But you serve people because you love Jesus, you see. And that way it'll never change. People change. Jesus never changes. People let you down. Jesus will never let you down. And so I found out early in my ministry, you don't serve people because you love them. You serve people because you love the one who loves them with an unconditional love, and that's Jesus. And so I like that, and I just wanted to share that. Maybe there's someone in your life that you're trying to serve, and it's become difficult for you to serve them. And you say, well, would that ever happen? I don't know. You tell me. Would it? Would you have a problem serving somebody because they've been mean to you or unfair to you, maybe even attacked you wrongfully? They're trying to despitefully use you. Would you quit serving them? Well, if it's how you feel toward them only, you probably would. Maybe you already have. I don't know. But you see, when we love Jesus, and that's the purpose behind why we're serving them, it gives us strength to continue to serve them. Doesn't it, brethren? Now, doesn't it? Sure it does. Sure it does. Doesn't mean it's still going to all be easy and convenient. It just means there's a motivating factor greater than my love to them. It's his love for them. And when we serve with that love, well, that's a whole nother level of love, right? And that's the love that Jesus was speaking of when he spoke to Peter. Now, let's go back to verse number 20, and I want to give you some words here. What are we to do? You say, well, Jesus is resurrected and he's ascended and we're here. And so what are we going to do, preacher? We're going to sit around and just talk about how good it is. He's alive. No, that's not what we're going to do. That's not what they did. Well, we're just going to wait for him to come back. No, that's not what we're going to do either. Though we are to wait. Right? We've been looking at that on Sunday mornings. We're to work. Look at what he said in verse number 20. And they went forth
You see that? They went forth. They got into action. When you look at that phrase and you look at the tense of that phrase, there's a passion behind that phrase. They went forth. They no longer were discouraged. They no longer were down, and they no longer were ready to quit and throw in the towel and go back to the old way. They went forth. Jesus is alive. And he made an appearance to them, and he sealed their faith. And then he ascended. And when he did, they went out with a flame, with a passion. They went forth. They served their master. That's what you're to do. That's what I'm to do, right? We're to serve him. This same Jesus, brethren, that appeared to them. This same Jesus is the one who saved me. He's the one who saved you. He's the one who called them. He's the one who's called me. He's the one who's called you. We're to serve him. We're to go forth. You don't just sit around and discuss it with other believers. You go forth and you tell people who don't know. Hey, listen, let me tell you. There's the Son of God has come. And he lived and he died and he was buried, but he's alive. He's alive. And he did that for you. And so the scripture says here, they went forth. And I want you to think about this word. I wrote it down, passion, zeal. Zeal. They went forth. Now, why did they go forth? Why did they go forth? They did go forth until they heard he was alive. See, they went forth because they had something that drove them forward, that motivated them to go. Brethren, if we didn't have a message, we would have no cause to go. But I declare unto you, we do have a message. It's the greatest message in all of heaven and earth. There's no message like this message, brethren. This message is the power of God unto salvation. It changes lives. It's changed my life. It's changed your life. Listen, this message offers hope to the hopeless, help to the helpless. What a message that we have as believers, as Christians. And so I want to encourage you, go forth. Go forth. Tell people. That's what the early disciples did, isn't it? They tried to shut them up, but they said, listen, we're going to obey God rather than man. We can't help but to speak the things which we've seen and heard. Wasn't that their response? And so God help us to get a case of the can't help it. We can't help but to speak the things which we've seen and heard. And so the Bible says in verse number 20 that they had a passion. They went forth. Now look at this. They not only had a passion, but they had a proclamation. They preached. Look, they went forth and what? They preached. That's that message. They proclaimed. They didn't go forth and tell how good they were. They didn't go forth and tell how the church could reform them and how that some club or some group, some anonymous, could help them. They went forth and told about the risen Savior. They preached Christ, crucified, buried, risen, and coming again. We have that same message. And we've been commissioned with that message. And so, Jesus is alive. What are you going to do about it? I hope you'll go forth. I hope you are going forth. I hope you're telling people. Tell people. Tell them what? Give them the gospel. That's the power of God unto salvation. I tell you what was effective for the Apostle Paul. He just told them what Jesus done in his life. You say, well, I'm not very good with words. Well, just tell them what Jesus has done in your life. If Jesus saved you, that testimony has power on it because it changed your life. And so the Bible says they went forth. That's passion. That's passion. It drove them. It drove them. See, this action of Jesus that he was crucified and buried and had risen and ascended. Verse 19 speaks of this. After the Lord had spoken unto them, after he had done what he had done, and he had died and was crucified, and he rose from the grave, and he showed himself alive to them, and he ascended back to heaven. It motivated them with a passion to go and to tell. That ought to motivate me. It does. I could use some more motivation from time to time. How about you? God help me to stay motivated. And not to forget this now. Listen, it's just as real today as it was the day that this was penned. Amen. That's right. He's just as much alive today as he's ever been. And so here the scripture says they went forth. They preached. They preached. And this message is so important. It's so important. If we didn't have this message, listen, if Christ be not risen from the dead, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, I've been looking at that chapter, looking forward to this Lord's Day, that resurrection chapter. He said in verse number 19, we would be of all men most miserable. But now, verse 20, is Christ risen from the dead. And he's become the first fruits of them that believe. Amen? Jesus is alive. If Jesus was still dead, we'd have no message. What kind of message would we have? That would have no power. That would have no effect. Who wants to follow someone that couldn't conquer death and talk with them about eternal life? That's no message. But he is alive. And we do have a message. And so go and tell people. You say, well, preacher, they won't listen. Tell them anyway. They don't care. Tell them anyway. They won't believe. Tell them anyway. Right? There was a time I didn't care. I'm glad people kept telling me. There's time I didn't believe. I'm glad people kept telling me. Aren't you? So don't give up on people. So I've been telling somebody for 20 years, Pastor, we'll keep telling them. You never know. The next time might be the time. Keep praying. Keep believing. Keep trusting. Keep telling. Keep going forth. Keep proclaiming. It's worth it. I'm glad folks didn't give up on me. Aren't you glad folks didn't give up on you? Yes. And so the passion, the scripture says in verse number 20, they went forth. The proclamation, the preaching. But look at the place. It says, and they went forth and preached. Look at this. Everywhere. There's no wrong place to go to. There's no wrong place to proclaim this message to. Go everywhere. Go out in the streets and the lanes, Jesus said. Go out in the highways and the hedges. Go to the affluent communities and the communities of poverty. Go to those that are religious and those that are not. Go everywhere telling people. Go in your town. Go in another town. Jesus put it this way. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts. Amen? Just get the message out there. I told you, and God reminds me from time to time of this. I've told you this story. Perhaps you had something very similar like this to happen in your life. I believe you probably have. I remember driving home after working third shift as a young Christian. And I remember when I pulled up to a stoplight, I just had some time to just kind of reflect and was kind of trying to gather myself. And the pastor of the church that we attended had preached. It was either a Monday or Tuesday when this happened to me, and he had preached that Sunday on John 10, 27 through 30. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And I mean, it's like God turned a light on in my heart. And I just realized I have eternal life. And I'm telling you, I was so happy that I wasn't going to be lost again and have to live that life and that drudgery. I was rejoicing, crying. And I remember looking over, and there was this lady in a vehicle next to me. She was looking over like, that poor fella, you know. His wife just left him, you know, or something. I mean, she was just looking at me like that poor. If she only knew. I mean, I was turning cartwheels in my heart. I was praising God. And it's like God just whispered in my ear these words. You're into something big, son. I mean, it's like I could hear it. You say, well, you telling me you had a vision? No, I'm not saying I had a vision. But do remember, I had worked all night long, okay? But listen, I know God's voice when I hear it. I know God's voice. Brother Brethren, we're into something big. You do understand this. This is bigger than Madison County, all right? This is bigger than Virginia. This is bigger than the Eastern Seaboard. This is bigger. This is more than national. This is international. This is worldwide stuff here. The gospel. We're into God's work. Don't you ever hang your head down when you tell someone about Jesus. We're not promoting Satan. We're not promoting evil. We're promoting righteousness. What's right? God, the Creator, brethren, the Creator, the Redeemer of mankind. Someone who loves with an everlasting love. There's no love like His love. Say it with your head high, not in pride, but in thanksgiving. Thank God we have a message like this that we can proclaim. And we can proclaim it, notice, where they did. Everywhere. This message should be proclaimed. And so, Jesus is alive. What are we going to do about it? Well, I think it ought to cause a passion to burn in our heart. We ought to go forth. There's a cause. Right? Yes. We ought to proclaim. We have a message. And what a wonderful message we have. We have place. Could be your neighbor. Could be your friend. Could be your family. Might be your enemy. I don't know. Tell them too. They need to hear. Be hard for them to stay your enemy when they become your brother. Right? Amen. Let me give you a couple more things and I'll be through. The passion, they went forth. The proclamation and preached, the place, everywhere. Notice this, the power. The Lord working. Now we could stop right there. I'm glad I'm not in this alone. Jesus didn't say, well, you know, go to Jerusalem. Go both to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts. No. He said, but you shall receive power. You see. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in, right? You see, we go in His power. You're going in your power. You won't go long. You'll probably come back dry and fruitless. But when we go in His power, and we have the promise of His power, brethren, because He's alive from the grave. Jesus is alive. And He went with them. Thank God for the presence of God. Pastor BJ, I was talking with Sister Putt today, and for those of you that were there yesterday, wasn't God's sweet spirit there? It was there. The Lord was there. That changes everything, brethren, doesn't it? When the Lord's there, it just changes everything. God does that. Just makes everything sweeter. Isn't it wonderful when you're out, you're going forth and you're proclaiming and you're in places maybe that you feel a little unsafe or uncertain, but then God reminds you, I told you that if you would go, I would be with you. And lo, I am with you. Right? It's wonderful to know that Jesus is by your side in this work. It sure is. And so they had this confidence, and the scripture says, where the Lord working with them. See, brethren, we're co-laborers together, not just with one another. Now listen, I'm thankful for that. I'm glad I get to serve alongside of you in this thing called the gospel. I'm thankful for that. The fellowship of the gospel, what a wonderful fellowship that we get to labor in together. But we're co-laborers together, not for God, with God, the scripture says. And they were too. Can I tell you, the same God that was with them, working with them, is working with us. Amen. Amen. And so as you go now, remember, you're not going alone. You're not. God is going with you. He is. God is going with me. And I'm thankful for that. What would it be like if I tried to pastor this church in the energy of my own flesh? I'll tell you what it'd be like. A flop and a failure. A flop and a failure. What would it be like if you tried to teach your Sunday school class or sing a song or play an instrument or usher or, or whatever God has called and gifted you to do if you tried to do it in the energy of your own flesh. It just, you know, spiritually fruitless. Fruitless. I'd rather have fruit than success. I would. I'd rather have both. But if it's going to be either or, I'm going to take the fruit. And that'll lead me to my last point here, okay? So there's passion. They went forth. You go forth. Jesus is alive, brethren. He's put a message in our heart. He's changed our life. Let us go forth with that message, with a proclamation to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Tell someone, would you? Would you purpose in your heart, God, give me someone to tell. I want to tell somebody. I want to tell somebody that Jesus is alive. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to tell. The place. God sent me to the place. It's not hard to find a place. I have to share the story, and I'll make it quick. The first time I ever went out soul winning, I mean, it was just a disaster. I'm not trying to discourage you from going soul winning, all right? But, I mean, it was a disaster. My friend and I had been saved for, I don't know, maybe a month. And we our preacher was preaching on soul winning and getting out and telling people, you know, kind of like this. Go forth. Get out there and tell people. And so he and I, we got saved the same night. Along, Sharon got saved the night I got saved. And so I said, I tell you what, he and I were rooming together. And I said, we're going out and we're going to tell some people. We're going to tell some people what God has done for us. And he said, where are we going to go? I said, I'll get in the car. And so he got in the car, and we drove to this affluent neighborhood, not knowing, and parked in, again, not knowing, ignorance, parked in the Church of the Latter-day Saints parking lot. I didn't know who the Church of the Latter-day Saints were. And got out, and there were houses all around them, and started knocking on doors, you know. And how do you act when Mormons come to your door? Okay, so you know how they acted when I went to their door. There was this, listen, God looks out after the ignorant, okay? About the third, I can't remember exactly, I mean, they were people who wouldn't come to the door. I mean, we could hear them in there, and I'm thinking, what's wrong with these people? So I just knocked harder. I mean, you know, listen, I'm a country boy. And didn't have a whole lot of learning, don't have too much now. I mean, I just started knocking harder. Come on now, I know you're in there. You know, bang, 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 bang. I mean, we had some people say some really rough things. And I don't think they even went to the Church of the Latter-day Saints. But about the third or fourth house, it's like God just said, let me help these poor little lambs out. I mean, and so we knocked on the door, and this gentleman, he was a little older, and he came to the door, and he was so kind. And he was a Christian. He said, oh, what you boys are doing is just, this is great. And he began, he knew. And he asked us about, you know, tell me about how, come on in. And we stepped in the doorway there, and he said, tell me about how you got saved. And we told him, and he knew, you know, about a month ago, 6 weeks ago. And he said, well, this is great. And he just broke it down for us so kindly. He did. He didn't rebuke us and say, what is wrong with you guys? You know, what in the world are you doing? You realize where you parked your vehicle? And he just told us in a kind way, you know, I believe what I would do the first time around, he said, do you have any gospel literature? No. What gospel literature? What's that? You know, he didn't know. He said, well, you know, like tracts or something. We had a few tracts on us. He said, why don't you just, if you see someone out, talk to them in the yard or something, and then maybe just try to hand them a tract, give them a gospel tract. And he said, and if you would like, he said, you can pull your car up here and park in my drive, or just kind of pull over on the side of the road. And had no clue until it was over and went back that he told us. He said, how'd it go? And we told him it didn't go good. And he said, well, you know, sometimes that happens, but don't you let that discourage you now. And he said, then the next time, he said, be mindful where you park your vehicle. He said, because people do watch that stuff around here. And okay. You think we went back? Sure. Sure. You can't let things like that stop you from. You're not going to have good experiences every time you go soul winning. God put that man there so that we could learn some things. I don't think I've ever gone soul winning where God hasn't somehow let me know, I'm watching, son, and I'm pleased with what I see. The Bible says that God gave them signs following, confirming the word. I believe this is a couple of things here. My time is up, but I believe it's really a speaking of God gave some fruit. God gave some confirmation. Can I tell you that if you'll go with this, if you and I will go like they went, we'll have some signs too. I remember the first church that I pastored. I had a man tell me, about a week before I became the official pastor of that church, he said, they're going to chew you up and spit you out. I was 26 years old. Sharon and I, we had no children. I'd never pastored. I was in my last year of Bible college. And we went up to this mountain town, and God started moving. People started getting saved. God blessed in ways that I can't even begin to tell you how God was teaching me and being merciful to me. And I remember this man came to me and he said, "Preacher, there's an old drunkard who lives," and he told me where he lived. And he said, he's a town drunk. And he said, "Would you go see him?" And I said, "Sure, I'll go see him." "Would you?" "I think you would. Why wouldn't you go see a drunkard?" I'm talking to you. The Bible says they went everywhere. You don't walk around certain places. You don't avoid certain people. Everybody needs to hear this message. I'll never forget when Sharon and I pulled up on this man's property. He was out in the yard, and I could hear him swearing before we even got out of the car. I mean, he was working on his vehicle. And you know how it is, man, when you're working on something and you hit something wrong or something, you know. It wasn't going well for him. And so I walked up to him, and what was his name? You remember his name? Yeah, Tilly. Thank you. I said, "Mr. Tilly." And he was about three sheets in the wind already. I mean, he was, you know, "Yeah." And I said, "My name's Dale." "I don't want anything you got to say." I said, "Okay." I said, "Well, I'd just like to talk to you. You can go talk to the old lady. She ain't talking to me." And about that time, this woman wheeled out in a wheelchair. She wheeled out on the porch. And she said, "Oh, can I help you?" And so we got to talk to her, and we went in and started talking to her. Man, it broke my heart. Broke my heart. Bondage. People are in bondage, brethren. They're still in bondage. I remember sitting talking to that lady, and the smell of whiskey and urine just, make you gag. And as I was talking to her, her daughter came in, and she was troubled young woman. And so we began to talk to her, and we talked to Miss Tilly, and Miss Tilly got saved. She accepted Jesus. I mean, just tears coming down her cheeks, and she accepted Jesus as her Savior. And I remember when I asked her, though, I said, "Now, Miss Tilly, do you understand what I've told you?" And she said, "Yeah." And I said, "Would you like to pray?" And she paused a little bit, and before she answered, her daughter said, "I would." And I said, "Well, amen." And I remember turning to her and confirming it with her. And so she got saved, and then after she got saved, Miss Tilly, the elderly lady, or older lady, she wasn't elderly, but she was older, and she got saved. And it's like after that happened, I'm telling you, it's like the windows of heaven opened. We couldn't see people. They were people that, as far as I know, I went back a couple of times, and that man never got saved. I kept going back and trying to get him to get. I remember the next week we went back. I don't give up on people. I get on your trail, I'm on your trail.
That's right.
Amen. I'm serious. And don't you give up on people. I'm not, this is not about me. This is about Jesus. They went forth, and he went with them. He went with me. He still goes with me. He goes with you, brethren. This is real. I remember going back, and I remember that lady. She came out, and I remember what she said. She was on the phone, and she said, "Let me go. Them church people are here." And she was just so glad to see us. So glad. I can't even remember. We tried to work out a way to get her to the church. I know her daughter got baptized, but she was confined to a wheelchair, this lady was. Now, I said all that to say, don't ever give up on people. Listen, we all have those memories and stories of people. It just done my heart good to see that young lady raise her hand Sunday over there and say, I don't look away from people. I had a man tell me one time, he said, "Hey, you know what?" He said, when you preach, pick you a spot on the back of the wall back there and look at it. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to look at you and you and you and you and you, because that's who I'm talking to. I like to look at people I'm talking to. They say, "Well, you shouldn't make eye contact with people." Well, I think you should. Amen. I made eye contact with that young lady at some point during the service, and I'm telling you right now, the Spirit of God was working in her heart. You say, "How do you know?" You know. You know. And when she raised her hand, I just knew. I'm glad she got saved, don't you? Wouldn't you like to see it where somebody got saved every week? You say, "A preacher, that can't happen." Why not? Why not? Is he alive or dead? Come on, church. He's alive. Is he on the throne or not? Are they still lost people out there? They're all around us. They're all around us. Let's go get them. Let's go forth. Let's take them this message. Let's take them this message. He'll go with us. He's promised he would. He went with the early disciples. He'll go with us. Amen? That's the message tonight. I'm glad for Easter. I'm thankful for it. I'm glad Jesus is alive. What are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? Let's do what they did. All right? Father, thank you for your word. And I pray you'd use it now. And God, I pray you'd help me, not just to preach it, to keep it in practice. God, help us not to be hearers of thy word only, but help us to be doers of your word. God, keep us accountable. Help us to realize that we're responsible. We've been committed with the word of reconciliation. We are ambassadors for Christ. God, help us to represent you well. Let's take just a few moments now with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I'm going to ask you to ponder that verse of scripture in your heart. Would you do that? They went forth preaching everywhere, and the Lord went with them, and he confirmed the word